Today's scripture comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Actually, it's just 13 through 16. I'll read it in English. When Jesus came to the region Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Amen. I don't know how much you follow sports or how into MMA or UFC that you are into. I know probably the wrong demographic to be bringing that up in. But this upcoming week, for those of you who are not aware, there was a very big fight. It's almost a historic fight. It was kind of like if you follow any kind of MMA or UFC fighting, it's the matchup. It was almost like the dream matchup. The guys that everyone talks about, the two best, potentially. And so they ended up fighting last night. But one of the things that happened in the lead up to the fight was the press conferences, all the stuff that where they're trying to make all the hype and try to sell tickets and trying to get pay-per-view buys. And so they have a lot of press conferences. And one of the things that happened in the press conferences is one of the fighters, his name is Khabib Nurmagomedov. Nurmagomedov, yeah. And he was sitting at a press conference, and one of the reporters asked him, they said, "Some of the people, they say that you can't handle Conor McGregor's punch." They were saying stuff like that. He brought up a question that started along those lines. He said, "How do you see, what do you think the fight is going to go like? How do you think the fight will go? Because some people are saying that, you know, you can't stand up with Conor McGregor. You have to drag him down to the ground." And there he started his question off like that. And Khabib, he's a very serious guy. He doesn't speak great English. He's a very serious guy. He looked right at the guy. He deadpan looked at him and he said, "What do you think?" And the reporter was caught off guard because the reporter is waiting for an answer. He's waiting for him to discuss, "I'm going to do this to him. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to..." But he said, "What do you think?" And the reporter said, what does it matter what I think? What do you think is going to happen? I'm not fighting." And he said, "No, what do you think?" And then there was like an awkward silence in the room. And everyone was like, "Oh, because we don't know. We don't know. Maybe the reporter is a Conor McGregor fan. And he doesn't know. He doesn't know if his answer is going to be right, and or if it's going to be a very awkward answer. But, oh yeah, I think Conor McGregor is going to knock you out. That's even a more awkward answer. I don't think you have the skills to take it. It's hard when someone puts you on the spot and they ask you a direct question like that. So what do you think then? What about you? What do you say will happen in the fight?" It happens all the time in sports. You know, it's funny because whenever that happens, the same reaction always happens. The reporter almost always stammers, "Why are you asking me what I think? Why does my opinion matter?" But then almost always it ends to some kind of awkward standoff and then a stammered answer. And in this kind of in the story that we have today, it was kind of reminded me of that. It was kind of reminiscent of that kind of story. Because what happens is when Jesus is with the disciples, he just kind of throws out this question. He goes, "Who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they reply to him. They say, "Oh, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Now, what does that answer entail? Probably because he was doing some of the things that the prophets of old had done. It was reminiscent of some of the stuff that they heard about, learned about. They grew up knowing these things about these people. And they see some of the things that are happening and they say, they're saying that you must be like that. They're saying that the Son of Man is like this. You're comparable to the prophets of old. And then it's that dagger. It's almost kind of like the pointed question where he says, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" You see, the first question is it's very much kind of general. It's very much kind of open. And when he asks it, you can see that there's a difference in the reply because it says they replied. You see, sometimes when you're talking about what other people say about something, or a secondhand account or a secondhand story, it's easier to answer. You're almost just reporting. You're almost just giving facts. You're almost just saying what you've heard from other people say. And there's nothing, there's no attachment to it. Your reputation, your life is not on the, under the microscope when you give that answer. And it's easy. Oh yeah, you know what? That person said this about you. Did you know that this person said that about you? It's easier to give an answer. And so when he throws out that question, in verse 14, it ends up they say that they replied. What does that mean? Maybe they all replied these kind of things. Maybe it was, they all lifted their voices. Maybe they were all shouting out answers. Maybe there were multiple answers. There's something along the lines of it was a corporate answer. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He doesn't allow it to stay there. He doesn't allow it to stand at what is the popular opinion of who I am. What are others saying about me? You see, these are his disciples. These are people who have seen what he's done. And at this juncture, at this point, probably, you know, I know that the Gospels are not necessarily in chronological order. The orders are not exact. But probably they've seen some stuff. I don't think Jesus would ask them if they were just strangers. Who do you say that I am? We don't know. You haven't done anything yet. But probably they've seen a lot of his miracles. Probably they've heard a lot of his teachings, even some of the stuff that's not written in the Bible, that wasn't in here, that wasn't included. Probably there were some teachings along the way, on the walks. At this point, he probably expected them to have a certain type of answer. What about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? And it's not just you. It's not like he turned to Simon Peter. It's not like he looked at Peter and he said, who do you say that I am? This was a question to the group still. He threw it out he says, who do you guys say that I am? Who do you all say that I am? And that it's a plural you. And then I feel like there's that difference between that they replied, but that stops. And almost, there's almost kind of like a silence or like a break. Even when you read it, there feels like there's a break there. And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And that ends up being a very pivotal point in Peter's life. And in some ways, for Jesus, you can see that it impacted him. There was something that happened in that moment when he made that declaration. It wasn't just, oh, good, let's keep walking. But Jesus stops, and in Matthew's account, he goes on this kind of long thing where he said, it wasn't included, but he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. You see, Jesus, upon receiving that answer, something affected him as well. Something about that answer was impactful. But the thing is, one of the things that I realized from this chapter and from this passage, and one of the things that I kind of keyed in on, and one of the things that I wanted to share with our staff, is it's too convenient sometimes to talk about Jesus, about some of the things that he's done, some of the things that you've heard, some of the things that you've read in books, some of the things that your professors have said, some of the things that you've learned from your pastors, and to give a secondhand account. Who do people say that Jesus is? Who do people say that Jesus Christ is? And then you say, some say this, some say that. My pastor says this. My teacher says that. My parents say this. But what about you? What about in your life? Who is Jesus Christ? And if he were to ask that question to you, what would you answer? See, it's really unfortunate sometimes because the answer becomes, sometimes it becomes, oh, you're someone that I hear about on Sundays. I feel like some of our youth group kids would answer like that. If I asked them honestly and they were answering from the heart, you're someone that I hear about once a week on Sundays. Oh, you're a genie who's supposed to grant my wishes. You're a friend who's supposed to overlook all of my mistakes. You know, sometimes when we get that question very directly and we answer from our hearts and we really evaluate what our relationship with Jesus is like, who Jesus is to us, in our view, in our understanding, in our relationship with Him, who is Jesus Christ? You see, and I know that, you know, most people can give the Sunday school answer and we can give Peter's answer. And Peter's answer is a great answer. It's the right answer, obviously. You know, he kind of like, ding, ding, ding. And then Jesus responds like, oh yeah, you got it. You know, blessed are you. And so our temptation is to just give Peter's answer. You are Jesus Christ, the Son. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeah, it sounds mushasa. It sounds amazing. It sounds right. And it sounds comfortable. But if you really ask that question, who is Jesus to you? In this past week, yesterday, right now, who is Jesus to you? And if He came to you and He said, who am I to you? Can you give this answer? Can you say, you are the God that I need. You are the Messiah that saved me. You are the one that I rely on every day. You know, sometimes it's shameful to admit, but I say, Jesus, sometimes you're a burden. Sometimes it's so annoying that I know you. I wish I didn't know you. It's easier sometimes not to know you. Jesus, you're so demanding sometimes. You are a dictator who tries to control all of my life decisions. And you keep me from doing things that I want and things that I like to do. You know, there's an honesty when you have to answer that question for yourself and in your heart. And not to give Simon's answer, but to give your answer. I think that's important as a staff. I think that's important when you teach. I think that's important in the message and the way that you kind of translate and express Jesus Christ to the ones that you teach. If you leave Him as a stranger that's talked about in other people's words, in other people's stories, in other people's testimonies, then that's all they'll know. That's all they'll hear. But if you speak of Jesus that's personal to you, what have you gone through in life? Where has He taken you? What has He done in your life? Who is He to you? You see, Jesus is so... He was so interested in that. I'm not interested in the popular opinion. I'm not interested in what the people are saying. What do you say? Who do you think I am? What do you say about me? You see, our words reflect our hearts. And in the same vein, we can give that answer through the way that we live our lives too. Who is Jesus in our life? Who is, when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? What do we do and what do we show through our lives? What do we show through our priorities? What do we show in the way that we treat other people? The way that we think about other people? These are important questions that we need to ask ourselves every once in a while. Because if we don't, if we get so caught up in doing church things and serving and working and doing things for the kingdom of God, all great things, but once in a while when Jesus says, stop and tell me, who am I to you? Who am I? Who do you say that I am? And what do you project? What do you show others about me in the way that you live your life? See that? It's supposed to cause that tension. It's supposed to be that awkward silence in the room. When Habib says, what do you say? What do you think? And at that point, what Jesus is saying is choose a side. Put your name on the line. Put your name on this. Put your reputation on this. And Simon took a chance. Simon Peter took a chance. Right? And because of the chance, his name is there. And no one else gets mentioned. They don't say, oh, and all the other disciples are quiet. Or, you know, they don't get mentioned, but Peter gets mentioned because he took a chance. Because he was full of the Spirit. Because he knew who Jesus was at that moment. How important is the Holy Spirit in our lives? It allows us to give the answer. It allows us to give the answer that Jesus is wanting to hear from us. And your answer might be a little bit different from my answer. There might be a little bit more, a little bit less. It might sound a little bit different, but the right answer will come if the Holy Spirit is in your life. And if we are not living side by side with the Holy Spirit, and the answer is not given from our Father in heaven, then we will just give the stock answer. We'll give the convenient answer. We'll give the comfortable answer. But there's a difference. There's a difference in the way that it is received. It's different in the way that it's heard. Who is Jesus? What about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Now, the second thing that I wanted to highlight is Peter kind of gets this, you know, he gets almost kind of like a blessing, right? And it gets almost a commission or a charge. You know, the Catholic Church, they see this as central to the papacy, and they think, you know, oh yeah, that's, you know, this is where it started. Peter's the rock of the church, as probably a little bit too far. But he gets something out of this. He gets a reaction, at least, out of Jesus. He gets words directed at him. And it's interesting, the type of language, the type of commission, the type of stuff. He says, on this rock I will build my church. I will establish those that I've called, those that I've assembled, the people that I've reached out to. This is where we will build the church. But the thing is, he doesn't say, who are you? Who are you? I think it's just an interesting thing. I thought about this whole week, but it's, I think in some ways, maybe it's American culture, maybe it's Western culture, or maybe it's just human nature or something, but we always tend to turn things to ourselves. I don't know if it's like a innate narcissism or something that's inside of us, but when we think about these kind of things and we think about our role in church, when we think about our role in the kingdom of God, when we think about the service that we're going to do, the things that we want to do for God, in the end, we always look at ourselves. And we look at our inadequacies, we look at our shortcomings, we look at our sin, we look at some of the things that we've done in the past, and those are the things that we kind of key in on. Oh, but who am I to do this? How could I do this? See, but that's not the question that Jesus asks. He doesn't turn to Peter and he say, are you worthy of me building my kingdom? Are you worthy of being a servant in my kingdom? Are you worthy of serving in my church? You see, but so many times that becomes a discussion. The focus is on the worker. The focus is on the disciple. The focus is on what is your sin history? What have you done? And it's not even other people that do it. We do it to ourselves too. And we disqualify ourselves. I'm not fit. I don't deserve this. I can't do this. Jesus doesn't even ask that. Was Peter perfect? I guarantee you he wasn't. He was a human being. And I don't care how close he was to Jesus Christ, he sinned. He was a sinner. Jesus knew that. Even Peter knew that. But the point is, he says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? You see, Jesus puts the focus on himself. He says, who do you say that I am? And it's when we answer that we are worthy of being a servant in the kingdom of God, not because of ourselves, not because of our own righteousness. Who are you? What have you done? What is your past? How worthy are you of being a servant in the kingdom of God? How worthy of you are you to serve in church and to have a position, to have a title? Oh, I can't. I've committed egregious sins. I've committed terrible sins. I have a terrible history. That's not the question. But who do you say that I am? Yes, I know your past. I know your sin. I know who you are. I know the sin that you commit daily. I know the sins that you're going to commit in the future that you don't even know you're going to commit. But who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Am I your Savior? Am I the Messiah? Am I the Son of the living God? You see, that's what he's interested in. It doesn't mean I needed to like kind of put an asterisk. It doesn't mean like, oh, go sin and do whatever you want and just say, oh, Jesus is the Messiah and then sin. That's not the point or the heart of the message. But the emphasis is clearly on, who am I? And if I'm the Messiah, then you can follow me. And if you follow me, then you can be the rock that I can build my church on. If you are with me because you are with me, because you're able to declare that, because the Holy Spirit's with you, because my Father allowed you to see that answer, that's why this church can stand. You see, that's what we need to start doing in our churches. I really think that's so important. I preached this 2 weeks ago. I didn't preach this, but I preached this type of message 2 weeks ago where I basically kind of ranted that church, in a lot of ways, sometimes we raise Pharisees. We raise people to act like the Pharisees because that's convenient, because that's easy. Act a certain way, look a certain way. And when people ask you, pretend you're happy, pretend you're faithful, pretend that you're a Christian. And I was telling the youth group kids, you know what? Even for me, that's easy. I like that. I get more compliments when you guys act like that. And so in some ways, if I get tempted to kind of treat you guys that way and to teach you guys that way and to raise you guys that way. But at some point we need to ask them, you know, don't look at yourself. It's not who are you and how should you be and how good should you be, but it's who is Jesus? Who is Jesus in your life? despite the mess that you might be in, despite who you are and what sins that you're committing, who is Jesus? Can he save you from that? Do you believe that? See, that I really think that's the church. And that's why Jesus says, we can build on this. We can build on this. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is in you. Who do you say that I am? It's important for our staff to understand this. I think it's important for our staff to ask ourselves that question. You know, it's weird if the pastor like preaches this over and over again, but once in a while, if we just kind of remember this passage, and anytime you hear about it, or anytime you hear those words, or you know, just once in a while, just ask yourself very personally, you know, Edwin, who is Jesus in your life right now? And answer that question. And don't let it just trail off, or don't let it just kind of gloss over with something easy. But really, who is he? And how do you view him? And always remember, it's about who he is, not really about who we are. It's about who he is. And we are, when we can give that answer, when we have the Holy Spirit, when we're led by God to give the right answer for that, that's what qualifies us to be workers in the kingdom of God. That's what calls us into his family. And that's when he says, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are a child of God. Let us pray. God, we confess and we admit that sometimes it's just easier to not really ask ourselves hard questions. Sometimes it's easier to just give right answers and to act right and to try to project living right. And sometimes it's easy to forget why we're here and through whose blood and through whose sweat and through whose sacrifice that we're able to stand here. So Lord, remind us with a simple question, who are you? And let that resound and kind of ring inside of our hearts throughout the week, in our relationships with you, when we're going through difficult times, when we're going through our good times, that we're always asking ourselves, that we're always evaluating our relationship with you, that we're always thinking about who you are, what you've done for us. God, and help us to turn away our eyes, turn away our focus. Let it not be inward towards ourselves and who we are, what we've done. Help us to not carry the burden of sin that's not there anymore. Help us to not bear the sin and bear the cross of a cross that you've already bore, of a sin that you've already paid for. And help us to see ourselves in the way that you see us, and help us to always fix our eyes on you and to realize that it's through you that we live, it's through you that we breathe, it's through you that we're saved. Lord, we thank you for the many times that we get it wrong, and we're reminded even that Peter got it wrong immediately after, and he continued to get things wrong. But you stayed with him. You stayed consistent with him. And Lord, we know that that's available to us today. And so as we work, as we walk, as we immerse ourselves in our relationship with you, Lord, remind us of this story once in a while. Help it to give us comfort. Help it to give us strength. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we could proclaim boldly who you are and be able to stand behind that. Stand upon it as well. We thank you, God. We trust in you and all this. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Let us pray.
God, who do you say we are?
Father, who do you say we are?
But I was pierced for your transgressions. I was crushed for your iniquities. The punishment that brought you peace was upon me, and by my wounds you are healed. Lord, we are your children. We are your sheep. That's who you say we are, Lord. It's an amazing thing. It's an unfathomable. Just we can't understand that magnitude of love and mercy, Lord. But that's who you say we are, Lord. So we stand upon that love, Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, love of the Father God, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forevermore. Amen.